Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Miracle Man here on Tuesday, June 18th of 2019. By the way, I'm sorry about this. I started a couple minutes late, but sometimes that just happens. So I apologize for that. But I gotta say, well, outside, man, outside, it turned out to be really, really, really nice. Originally, it was supposed to be partly sunny in the morning, then mostly cloudy with a 30% chance of rain showers, highs in the lower 70s. Instead, mostly sunny, and it turned out to be 81, about the coolest, about the warmest it's been all month. Now, before today, I think this came out yesterday or the day before. I want to say that this data is as of Sunday. Leading up to Sunday, or maybe leading up to Monday, including Sunday, in the state of Michigan, on average, we had 49% of possible sunshine to date for the month of June. 49%. Typical is like 63 or 65%. That's a pretty big deficit, isn't it? Rachel, isn't that a pretty bad deficit?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And then this had made it to be 12 months in a row, dating back to last July, the amount of possible sunshine that we have had was less than normal for Michigan. Last month was the third cloudiest May in history, in which records go back. That is. November, 9% sunshine, 9%. That's just pitiful, isn't it?
Oh, for sure.
But 49 is better than 9, but not quite where we need to be. And I will say, I went to the city pool today, which, by the way, was very busy, partly because there was a camp there, actually two. One of which was like a little kid's daycare, actually. The other was like for older kids' camp, which had 70 kids. So about 110 campers plus another 100 people. When the campers left, though, it turned out to be about 180 people. So it would have been like 280. Close to 300 had everybody been there all at once. Part of why I think it was so much partly had to do with the fact that June weather, especially being 3 days away from the solstice, had been so horrible. I mean, like, we've been running temperature deficit, sunshine and sunshine deficit. Now, as far as rain, unlike 2 years ago, we're not anywhere like near a flood. By the way, that was just before I launched my show. But we had, but that to say, still been super cloudy though to this point, but today was beautiful. And according to forecasters, the next time we're supposed to have a mostly sunny day isn't until a week from today. Hopefully we'll get a break, and hopefully we'll get another break before that. And then I'm still curious to, excited to see what it's going to be like when I go south. I think that if the sun is out, I would say 90s at least 2 days of the 5 complete days that I'll be in a southern state for the entire day. What I mean by that is, I mean, like, by Friday night I will have gotten into Kentucky. So that means I'll be actively in the south for a full 5 days. And I think it's safe to say that I should expect to see 90s at the very least 2 of those days. Maybe 3, maybe all 5. Up to wait and see. But I don't know, listeners, if you can tell or not, but you know, had my healing because they manifest. I could have totally seen myself being a meteorologist and like one who studies the patterns and why are they how they are, what are the factors that control weather. I don't usually talk about politics on the show, and I'm not even going to start a political discussion. I will make a statement. There is climate change. However, in my mind, the climate change that there is has always been constant. It's been much hotter. It's been much colder. And by the way, we're not just talking about the 140 to 150 years that we have records for in this country. I mean, even if you go back into the thousands and thousands of years ago, there was an ice age. You had the medieval warming period. And all these other climatical phenomena. Now, of course, I'm not sure if they could measure the amount of rain that fell in the flood at Noah's Ark. I would be curious, though, to see if there was a way for them to figure that out. How much rain did fall? What were the temps during that event? What was the wind? What was the barometer? Hi, who is it?
It's Brooke.
Hello. Oh, it's good to see you, but right now I'm in the middle of doing my radio thing. So, unless I ask you something, it's kind of good to keep it down.
Okay.
Because I'm talking to my listeners. But as I was saying, folks, I would really be interested to see as to, you know, what was the pressure? I have to imagine that the pressure on that barometer was probably very, 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 very low, because normally we should be a bit on either side of 3,000 millibars. I believe that's what that 30.00 means. It would be like 3,000 millibars. Is that what that measures, you think, is the millibars? Is that what it is?
Yeah, but then
I imagine during the flood, though, it was super, super low. And it was like that for 40 days and 40 nights. For the whole event, though, they'd have to figure out throughout the whole 40 days. I do have a passion for, you know, what, especially weather in my lifetime. And what exactly was it at different times that I was in different places? Because then that makes me kind of remember, you know, like a week ago, I was taking some examples. Some samples at days that I would have been at camp, for example, 20 years ago. And other days throughout that summer, just to kind of get a reminder of what exactly was it like, by the way. Because some of the days I was outside, and I'm sure some of those days, depending on the field, feel like on some certain kinds of fields, especially when you're younger like that, it can be harder to tell whether it's humid or not, don't you think? But I have to rely on the Flint station to truly fill me in. Because the Tri-City isn't necessarily the most complete weather data. So I look at them. All to say, it turned out to be a really, really nice summer day today. I hope there'll be a whole lot more of those. To me, Plymouth today was awesome. It was way beyond just another time that I went to the city pool, which, by the way, I love it there. I mean, like, it was just, I didn't know it was gonna be that nice. I was hoping. Sure enough, it was. And if some of you had a prayer meeting or whatever, some of you listeners, after I signed off last night, if you did, do it again, because it really worked. Because that was so beautiful. But by the way, if you folks complain about heat waves where you are, I can help you pray for rain, but I don't know that I'd want to help you pray the heat out. Brooke, you wouldn't want to help anyone pray the heat out either, would you?
I want to keep the heat.
You want to keep it. You would not help. You would honestly have to say, no, I will not pray for the heat to leave you.
I think I would. I want to keep the warmth.
You'd be like, I'll pray for it to leave you, but only in return that I want it, you know?
Right.
That's what it would be, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it can leave your area, but it needs to come to me, you know?
Heat
cometh to me. All those low 90s and whatever, come to me.
I agree. I am ready for it.
I'm ready for those. I really am. So that you can enjoy the nice, cold AC. I know my mom, wherever she is, if she's listening right now, she might just be screaming. and being cold air off now. She said that to me in church a few weeks ago. She said that, or it can be like an automated system. For cold air, press or say one. To have the cold air removed from where you are, press or say two.
That'd be a good idea.
To have your air conditioning system turned off, move to another country that does not have AC. Could you see me throwing that on there? You could, couldn't you?
I could. Yeah.
I realize and the explanation would be because here we love our AC.
We do love our AC. Yeah.
And the feel that it provides, it just provides an atmosphere where you can just sit here and meditate or whatever, you know. And yeah, like it's
nice to take a break from the heat sometimes.
You know, in the 70s, you just dream about those donuts.
Uh-huh. The
donut. Father, speaking of donuts, listeners, I found out about this Krispy Kreme in New York City that's supposed to open next year. And here are the features that it's supposed to offer. The making of fresh donuts, hot fresh donuts, 24/7. Stadium-style seating, so you'll be able to sit and watch the donuts being made. Special donut electronic donut activations, whatever those are. And a glazed waterfall. A glazed waterfall. Just imagine a glazed waterfall. Doesn't that sound like heaven?
Absolutely.
Yes, it does. A glazed waterfall would be so impressive. This Krispy Kreme is expected to serve more donuts than any other Krispy Kreme around the world. Actually, what I mean is expected to serve more guests and more donuts. I think it's safe to assume. One Krispy Kreme in Los Angeles area right now sells 50,000 donuts. Makes 50,000 donuts a day. I wonder if that includes shipments to gas stations. Do you bet it does? So I am curious to see what it's going to be like. I am extremely curious. Maybe one of you folks who have heard and know more about this, maybe you could give me a call and we could talk about it. But sorry about that. Anyhow, I was just checking to see what time it was. But anyhow, but there's something to be said to me about a donut shop that has hot donuts 24/7, that has stadium style seating, donut activations, whatever in the world those are. What do you imagine a donut activation is, by the way? I don't know what they are, but to me it sounds really cool, really interesting. I can't wait to find out what it means. I'm not saying so, I'm just saying I'm curious to see what it is. My hope is that they put one of those Krispy Kremes like that down south somewhere, like in Atlanta or in Charlotte, or Krispy Kreme is from, or something like that. Okay. So today, Taco Bell gave out Free Doritos, Locos, Tacos between 2 and 6 o'clock because of the Warriors winning a game on the road in Toronto. I did not go get mine. So, that is to say, they did that between 2 and 6. They did the free tacos. But, you know, McDonald's, every day, any time of the day, you can come to McDonald's and get any size soft drink and only pay $1 for it. Great way to cool off on a warm, sunny day here in the summer, which has finally showed up, right? Summer finally showed up, huh, Brooke? It finally showed up.
Yep.
I know. Yeah. It finally showed up. It took about 3 million years for it to get here.
Uh-huh, and then it's supposed to get rainy.
And then, by the way, it's going to start raining again.
Yep.
So enjoy the summer for the few days that it sticks around. And then, like, 20 years from now, people might have to ask me, you know, whatever happened to summer? Didn't we used to get this thing called summer? I'd have to be like, well, we used to.
Yeah, that's sad, isn't it?
That would be so sad if that actually happened.
I agree.
I can joke about it right now, hoping that it can just stay a joke.
Yeah.
Because any one of you listeners that has spent much time at all listening to the show knows I love to tease. If you've forgotten how to learn to laugh, you need to remember it, because laugh merry heart does ye good like a medicine, as the Bible says. The Bible said that. I didn't make that up. No, I didn't make that up.
I think laughing's good.
Oh yes, it is. It is. It's really good for you. It's good medicine. Listeners, it really is. That's kind of why they say sometimes we all need picked on, you know? Someone's just all serious all the time. Eventually that hurts.
Boring.
It'd be boring if you never got picked on. Yeah, sometimes I get called the Pepsi Man. I used to get that a lot from a certain guy who I told I didn't like Pepsi. It was so funny.
That is funny.
Hey, Pepsi Man. And if I had done a show back then, and he helped me start it, I could have seen him call it the Pepsi Man show. You bet he would have, too, don't you? Instead of being, hey, Miracle Man, it'd be, hey, Pepsi Man, wouldn't it? They just demand that. But it'd be so funny. Listeners, I want to encourage you to spread the word about this great show. Tell those that you know how they can be a part of this great program.
Mm-hmm.
The number to call into this great program to listen, to talk to me, as I said, we can talk about generally anything you want to talk about, as long as it's not political. If it's not political, feel free to call in and give me your opinion. Is there something I can do better at? Am I saying something, listeners, that you think is inaccurate? Or is, in fact, inaccurate, and I should correct? Let me know. It's always great when we have feedback. So, the number to call in to be a part of this great show is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that is 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts, and when you hear the prompt that says to call into a live show, press 1. You'll be taken through a call screener. My assistant will answer the phone, and she will let me know that we have a caller, and then we can go from there. And I'll let you have the floor. All right. Now, we are going to pray. After we pray, I'm going to open up the Bible to the book of Daniel. And I am just finding my spot, because I am going to talk about the image of gold in the fiery furnace and about the miracle that took place regarding that. And we basically finished Acts. There's only one chapter left, 28. I never read to you Daniel yet. So what I'm going to do is tonight I'm going to share Daniel and the fire. I'm going to share with you a story of the fiery furnace. And then tomorrow night I'll share with you the lion's den. Because in that same book there's two great incidences of miracles and Bible heroes. Because we're continuing our series on the heroes of the Bible. Amen. Now, Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name right now this evening. I thank you, Father God, for the show tonight, for all these listeners who have made the choice, and it's the right choice. The choice they've made to be a part of this program tonight, to learn about your word and what you have for them. I pray, Lord God, that you meet the needs of these people right now who are listening, wherever they may be, whatever device they may be on. They found the show and they're listening to it. It is not by accident. I thank you that they will receive whatever they're believing you for tonight. In Jesus' name. Lord, I confess right now over the show that finances come into this radio program, that sponsors and partners come into this program to help us do the work of God. I thank you, Father God, that we have increases in listenership. And most importantly, Father God, I thank you that we have a great big harvest of souls coming in to this radio program as a result of this great radio show. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. Amen and amen. All right, open up your Bible, if you will, please, to the book of Daniel, chapter 3. Praise God. At Daniel, chapter 3. And it's always so good to be excited about the Word of God. It's so much better than, oh, no, my goodness, not that. Oh, no, my goodness, I want to read Reader's Digest. Can't we just open up Reader's Digest? Do we have to open up the Bible? Unfortunately, some people do think that. Not saying that I know people. I am very convinced that people do that. Praise God, Daniel chapter 3. And I just want to encourage you to please be a part as I'm opening up the Bible. You follow along wherever you are. I sing, you sing. I pray, you pray. We're just going to go on from there. Praise the Lord. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 3 right now, of the book of Daniel. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. And he set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all of the other principal officials to come to the dedication of the image he had sent up. In other words, it was everyone that was appointed, everyone that held an office, any kind of governing office in that country. So, the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, all those appointed officials, they assembled. It didn't say appointed, it kept listening, but I shortened that up. And all these officials, they assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "This is what you are commanded to do, O peoples, nations, and men of every language. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zephyr, the lyre, the harp, the pipes, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." Or as the Old King James says, the fire furnace. And other many other versions say the fire furnace. So when I come to any part that says blazing, we'll just call it the fire furnace. Is that okay with you?
Yeah.
And I ask you, I was like, to listen, but still, that's okay. You know? The one that does not fall down in worship will immediately be thrown into a fiery furnace. Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the zephyr, the lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all of the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshiped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. This time, some astrologers came forward and they denounced the Jews. And they said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You have issued a decree, O king, that everyone who hears the sound of the horns and all the other kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold. And that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into the fiery furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have sent over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your God, nor do they worship the image of gold that you set up, that you have set up. Verse 13 now. furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold that I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zephyr, and all the kinds of music, in other words, when you hear the band, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a fiery furnace. Then what God with a little g, what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the fiery furnace, well, the God, capital G, meaning the Lord of heaven, the Lord that we serve, is able to save us from it. And he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods with oil or worship the image of gold that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than it usually was, and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to throw them into the fiery furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, their trousers, their turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the fiery furnace. The king's command was so urgent, and the furnace so hot, that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And those three men, firmly tied, fell into the fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Well, certainly, O king." He said, "I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the fourth looks like a son of the gods with orgy." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the fire furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. Come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came up out of the fire. And the satraps, prefects, governors, and all the other appointed officials crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants." They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than to serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will be cut into pieces, and their houses be turned into piles of rubble. And no other God can save in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Well, we'll go back to chapter 2. I want to look at chapter 2 a little bit. We'll read maybe down to verse 20. Daniel chapter 2. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled, and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, the enchanters, and sorcerers and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, "I've had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what on earth it means." Okay, let's see what on earth, I want to know what it means. Then the astrologers answered the king in Aramaic, "O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will interpret it." The king replied to the astrologers, "This is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble." What a threat. "But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me." Once more they replied, "Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will interpret it." Then the king answered, "I am certain that you are trying to gain time, because you realize that this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me the dream, there is just one penalty for you. You have conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping that the situation will change. So then, tell me the dream and I will know that you can interpret it for me. The astrologers answered the king, there is not a man on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however, great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except for the gods, and they do not live among them. This made the king so angry, so furious, that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death. The men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him in wisdom and text. He asked the king's officers, why did the king issue such a harsh decree? Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went into the king and asked for time, so that he might interpret the dream for him. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends. Hanania, Michael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed for the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the Lord of heaven and said, oh, I'm sorry. Let's go to 30. We're going to stop at 20, but then I just found where he starts to tell the dream, so I have to get into that. And we'll start verse 20 again. Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and he deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of you. And you have made known to us the dream of the king. Then verse 24. Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream for him. Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, I found a man among the exiles from Judah who can actually tell the king what his dream means. The king asked Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, "Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dreams and interpret it for me?" Daniel replied, "No, wise man. No, wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery that he has asked about. There is, however, a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions that passed through your mind have you lay on your bed are these. As you were lying there, O king, your mind turned to things to come and the revealed of mystery. The revealer of mysteries showed you what is going to happen. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have greater wisdom than other living men, but so that you, O king, may know the interpretation and that you may understand what went through your mind." This is so good. I'm just going to keep going a little bit. Let me just check the time. Yep, we're okay. Verse 31 now. "You looked, O king, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold. Its chest and arms were made of silver. Its belly and its thighs were made of bronze. Its legs were made of iron. Its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay. While you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet with iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were broken into pieces at the same time and became like chaff on a threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace. But the look that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. This was the dream, and now we will interpret it. The king. You, O king, are the king of kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands, he has placed mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them all. You are that head of gold. After you another kingdom will rise. Inferior to yours. A third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron. For iron breaks and smashes everything. And as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break all of the others. Just as you saw that the beasts and cows were partly of baked clay and partly of iron. So this will be a divided kingdom. Yet you will be yet it will be some of the strength of iron in it. Even as you saw iron mixed with clay, as the toes were partly iron and partly clay, so this kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be a mixture, and you will not remain. These people will not remain united any more than iron mixes the clay. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. You will crush all their kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out with a mountain, but not by human hands. A rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold into pieces. The great God has showed the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true, and the interpretation is trustworthy. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and said to him, and paid him honor, and ordered that an offering of incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings that revealed these mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery." Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court. Amen. Amen. Now, let's talk about what we saw had going on here. So, chapter, we'll start with chapter 2. In chapter 2, you saw that Nebuchadnezzar had a rough dream. And all these crazy astrologers and fortune tellers and all, but those kind of people were there in his presence, and he asked him, "Please tell me, what dream did I have?" But he was pretty angry. He was like, "You better interpret this dream for me. You better interpret this dream for me." When they told him they couldn't do it, he basically said, "You know what? You can't tell me the dream. You're going to have your houses destroyed." Then they told him, "I told you, Daniel, I cannot interpret these dreams for you. We don't understand them. We don't know." And then he basically told him, "You know what? You're done. Goodbye. You're going to have these people," he basically said, "you're going to have these astrologers and all that executed." So, someone was appointed to execute. But then Daniel came forward, and he basically said, "You know what? I can tell the dream." So he went and told all those people. He went and told the king, "You know, do not let these people be executed. They don't deserve to be executed. And you deserve to know the dream that you had and to be able to understand it." And then he told him what the dream was and what it meant and interpreted it. And it was all this stuff about the iron and the rock. And, by the way, in case you didn't know, iron sharpens iron. Yep, iron sharpens iron. And is the bathroom right back here?
Yeah.
Listeners, I will be right back in just a very quick second.
Thank you.
Or he got him.
I am now right back, just as I said. It's kind of like in the Bible where Jesus says, you know, it will be as you have said.
Now,
back to chapter 2, the discussion of the chapters that we read tonight. Now in chapter 2, as we had just discussed, you know, he had that dream, and then they basically told him, all those astrologers, they basically told him, you know, we can't do it, we don't know how to interpret this dream, and he that made him so mad. And then Daniel told him the dream, and I was saying about that dream of the iron. And he basically told him that in that dream, it was that Nebuchadnezzar was basically ruler over the earth. And then the iron, the people became more divided. And then after Daniel finished explaining the whole dream, he basically said, thank you. And he gave Daniel a lot of gifts. And by the way, with the whole iron thing, there was the gold, the silver, and the bronze. But now in chapter 3. In chapter 3, King Nebuchadnezzar issued a decree. A law. And I imagine when they were in the legislature, and they said, at this time, we're going to gather everybody together. And when everybody shows up at this event, we're going to have a band. We're going to have all these harps and all these other kinds of music. And flutes and all that kind of stuff. And all that kind of stuff. And when that music plays, we want you to bow down and worship this golden image. The I have set up. And these people, and everyone other than Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel, everyone else bowed down and worshiped that idol. But Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego said, you know what, King Neb? We are not bowing. We do not serve these images that you do. We are not going to bow down and worship this false god. We ain't doing it. And then King Nebuchadnezzar basically said, okay, let's try again. When they said they wouldn't, when they said, you can try all you want, we're not going to worship this god, he said, okay, that's enough. These people all three of these men, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, are going in the furnace. He ordered that furnace heated up 7 times hotter. How hot do you imagine a furnace normally being? Like, if you go inside a furnace.
Oh, man. I don't know.
I know, like, what you might set your house to 80 degrees. You know, we'll say to 68 degrees or something in the winter, maybe 65 or 70. When it is 65 in that house or 70, what do you imagine the furnace is like? Like 90 maybe?
Maybe. That sounds about right.
Well, I'll say that furnace was about 90. But Nebuchadnezzar ordered that furnace heated up 7 times hotter than that. So 90, 270, 450, 540, 300. We'll say like 630 degrees. You could essentially boil just about 3 times. Well, needless to say, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown in that furnace. Thrown in that furnace because they didn't worship that God, that false God, that Nebuchadnezzar. But then Nebuchadnezzar, one of the administrators, looked a little bit later. That furnace to see, you know, to make sure that the fire burnt to death the people that it was supposed to. Well, the furnace was in fact so hot that it killed the soldiers who were throwing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the furnace. However, the fire did not kill Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego. Think about that. That fire did not kill Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego. Nor did it even hurt them. And there was no smell of fire on them either. No smell on their clothes, nothing on their robes. By the way, they were in robes. They were in a pair of t-shirt and shorts. They were in a tank top. Like if we had an excessive heat warning, they tell you, you know, if you go outside, wear light fitting, wear light colored, loose fitting clothing. Now, when you see robes and these shoes and all that stuff they were made to wear, does that sound like light-colored, loose-fitting clothing, or no? That does not sound like they were wearing light-colored, loose-fitting clothing, does it? They weren't wearing that. And by the way, that 110 heat index, or 115. This was almost 6 times that. A 110 degree heat index would feel like nothing compared to that. But all three of those people survived. And then they made a discovery. There's 4 guys in that furnace. And you want to know who that 4th guy was? Daniel. Daniel was walking in that, was in that furnace. And you know what? After they got, basically Nebuchadnezzar called Shadrach, Meshach, Benny, come out. They come out of that furnace. Uh,
Sunday does that inspections, and sure enough, none of them are burnt, none of them are hurt. Nope. That'll stun any doctor. By the way, parents, if you're listening to this show, do not let your kids go play in fire tonight. Do not let your kids go play in fire tonight. God did rescue them, though. That was like the battle of their life in that furnace. And didn't say anywhere about Daniel, I mean about those three guys whining while they were in there. You have to imagine, though, that they felt extremely sweaty, don't you think? You have to imagine that they seemed extremely sweaty sitting there. You can just about guarantee it. But God delivers them. And then Shadrach said, from now on, anyone who does not worship the true and living God, their houses are going to be destroyed and put to rubble. If you don't worship the true and living God. Because you see, Nebuchadnezzar, who was such a wicked man, that guy was wicked. He had a change of heart after hearing, after seeing that God had, in fact, delivered them out of that furnace. And before that, Nebuchadnezzar had said, there's no God that's going to deliver them out of the furnace. No God is going to deliver you three out of the furnace. I can guarantee it. He won't. He won't. That God you serve won't. And they said, our God is well able to deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we know we're in our God's hands. Sure enough, they delivered him. I mean, he delivered them out of that furnace. He delivered them out of that furnace. They refused to pay homage, to pay respect to that false image, that false God that was set up. Not a goal. They refused to pay homage. And to be honest, if that was at a football game or something and the announcer said that, and they're like, we're gonna play this certain song, you know, and I beg of you, and you're gonna dance, and you're gonna do all this other stuff, you're gonna bow down and what have you, and if you don't, here's what's gonna happen. Well, I'm not going to dance. No matter what the music. So my question is, are you going to serve and worship the one true God? Or do you have something in your life that's more important to you? Than God. And if you do have something more important, What is it? Is it a TV show? Is it a video game? Is it your Xbox? Is it certain other books you read other than the Bible? Yeah, it's okay to read other books. Totally. Does reading all this other stuff take the place of you reading the Bible? For one thing, you gotta. One thing I want you to get from this is God wants you to examine yourself, examine your own life. The other thing I want you to get out of this is these people really did believe, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego really believed that God was able to deliver them. So when you're going through a big battle, even a small battle, if you're going through a battle, never lose track of the fact that God is well able and willing to deliver me from it, from whatever this is. Maybe it's cancer. Maybe it's losing a job. Maybe it's a different kind of health. Maybe it could be a lot of things. Could be you lost your husband or wife for many years. Whatever that fiery furnace moment might be, God is well willing and well able to deliver us from it. And even though it may look like I am surrounded by that fire, by all that opposition, I am surrounded by the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior. Amen. And this is how I fight my battles. This is how we overcome. We live in the Word. We live by faith, not in doubt and unbelief. What if they doubted and said, "There's no way we're going to do that." I don't know if he's able to do it or not. No, they said he was able. In the New Testament, God is more than able to supply our needs according to his riches and glory. Amen. Lord God, I pray that we would get this message in our hearts in Jesus' name. And I give you praise and honor and glory for all these great miracles that you've done for us. Now for sports. The Tigers start a new series tonight. You'll be able to listen live. You will be able to listen live on AM 790 WSGW and on other fine affiliates. And until tomorrow night, folks, God first, God always. So long, everybody.